Because today is, I didn't even know this until this year, National Back to Church Day. Now that's exciting, but it's also kind of sad in a little way, because why do we have to have a national day to bring people to church, right? And so there's part of me that goes, that's lame, but there's people here that come faithfully every week, and this is their faithful home. And there's some of us that have never been in a church in our lives, and we say thank you for being here. And then there's people that have been to church but haven't been in a while. And we just want to say that you are welcome and that you belong here. And with that, I want to ask this question. Have you ever, this is so opportune, have you ever noticed how easy it is to say, I'm fine, even when you're not? Anybody ever been there? We're amazing at that. We put on a smile and we keep moving. And this is not in my notes, but we have every church has a magical parking lot that you're driving to church and you're fighting with your spouse and you're yelling at your kids, don't make me turn this car around. And you're trying to swat at them and everything. And then you get to the church parking lot and you walk into the church and you're like, and everybody's like, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I'm so blessed, right? It's magic, right? And we put this smile on and we keep moving and we juggle all these responsibilities. But deep down, so many of us are running on empty. Anybody been there? Anybody there? Because life has a way of pressing in on us from every side. Stress and pressure and struggles, and they don't go away. They just get stacked up. And when we try to shoulder all of this alone, the result is the same. We end up weary, weighed down, and we feel isolated. But the good news is this: we were never meant to do life alone. We're better together. Ready? Better together. Ha ha. Ha ha. Didn't see that coming, did you? Heck with Superman. We're better together. We weren't meant to do life alone. And when we walk together, Carrie, you missed it. It was great. She's like, what? Just so you know, Carrie, I have a t-shirt under my regular shirt that says better together. Sweet. I don't want you to be left out. So you can do what? Did they just say take my shirt off? No, this ain't that kind of church. Sorry. We're a lot of things, but we ain't that. Oh, man. When we walk together with honesty, grace, and love, something powerful happens. Something amazing happens. You want to know what that is? Anybody want to know? God shows up. God shows up. When we come together with grace and love and honesty and all of these things, God shows up. When we begin to seek him more clearly and see him more clearly and we experience his presence more deeply. The church, imperfect as it may be, and it's imperfect because of you and me. Ooh, that rhymed. We are the church. And church is meant to be a place where we encounter God's love through community. Being a part of a church family isn't about having it all figured out. It's about showing up and building real relationships and discovering the hope and the healing and the purpose that Jesus offers. And when we open our hearts to one another, we also open ourselves to the powerful work of God who wants to work and do things in us and through us. And that's why we believe that we're better together. Isn't that a great illustration? It's like a billboard. Well, I need lights. So big. I can stand out on the street. We're better together. Wow, did you see that billboard sign? Yeah. But think about it this way, okay? There are just some things in life that are simply better together. Now, I want you to brace yourself because what I'm about to say is deeply, deeply profound. You ready? Oreos and milk. Come on. Oreos and milk. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sure, both are fine by themselves, but you dunk an Oreo in milk, and I tell you what, it is, you're experiencing dessert level revival. Right? Movies and popcorn. Now, the movie might be at its best, meh, but you add buttered popcorn to it and it's a blockbuster. Am I wrong? Peanut butter and jelly, timeless. Batman and Robin, classic. Peas and carrots. I can't eat peas by themselves. They've got to come with carrots. And that's simple, but it works. Beaches and sunsets, right? That is Instagram gold every time. And bacon. Well, bacon with anything, right, is amazing. Seriously, it's not just better together. It's practically sanctified. Bacon. Some things are fine alone. But when they come together, they become something extraordinary. And the same is true in our relationships and communities. Close your eyes with me for a second. I want you to think about your favorite memories, right? Draw them up. We all got them. Close your eyes and think of your favorite memories. You got a couple? Chances are those memories aren't just about what you were doing, but who you were with. Right? Am I wrong? My best memories in life were some really fun things, but it was who I was with that made them extraordinary. It's just the way it is. That's the beauty of being part of a church family. When we gather together as God's people, just like this morning, Jesus is present. His Holy Spirit is here. The Bible promises it. Matter of fact, Jesus makes this very promise in the Gospels in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. It says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Now, this verse is part of Jesus' teaching about community life, right? How to handle conflict, how to forgive, and how to live with reconciliation. And right in the middle of this teaching, he reminds us that no gathering is too small. They all matter to God. Whether in a sanctuary or at a kitchen table or a quiet living room, when we come together with Jesus at the center, he shows up. It's not just an invitation. It's a promise. It's a promise. We were created for community. From the very beginning, God designed us for relationships. In Genesis, when God said, "It is not good for man to be alone," he wasn't just referring to marriage, right? He's talking and revealing a deeper truth about human nature. We are made in the image of a relational God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That means that we were wired for community, not isolation. We are designed to walk with God, and in doing so, to walk deeply with one another. There's this an old story about a man who drifted away from church, and one evening his pastor visited, and they sat silently by the fire until the pastor picked up a single glowing coal and set it apart from the rest. Slowly, that coal began to grow cold and gray. Then, without a word, the pastor places it back in the fire. And immediately it glowed again and burned hot. The man looked at him, the pastor, and said, "I'll be at church on Sunday." The moral of the story is, alone we cool down and grow cold. But you put it back in the community and we begin to warm up and grow hot. We were meant to do life together, not alone. It's so true in real life. Think about this. Think about parenting. When you're raising kids, you need people to lean on. Is that fair to say? Right? When your toddler throws a tantrum in the grocery store, or your teenager tests your patience, it helps to know that you're not alone on that road. Or think about work. When stress piles up, or you're facing a tough decision, or wise counsel from a trusted friend can give you fresh perspective. Or think about loneliness. Studies show that even though we're more digitally connected than ever, people feel more isolated than ever. God's answer to loneliness has always been community. Always. Paul compares the church to the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I wasn't going to read it, but let me just read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12, starting out. "For just as a body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body, though many, are one body, so is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need for you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which one more presentable parts do not require. Our more presentable parts do not require. Excuse me. I read much gooder. But God has to compose the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Every part matters. Every person matters. And when one part suffers, when one member suffers, we all suffer. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice. That's how deeply we are meant to be connected, family. The writer in Ecclesiastes puts it beautifully in chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying together, close together, can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are better, even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Now, the wisdom there is simple, right? Alone, we could probably go faster, but together we go farther. When we fall, we need somebody to pick us up and help us up. When we're attacked, we need someone to stand beside us. And when we're united, like a cord of three strands, he says, we are not easily broken. Reminds me of a formula. You plus me plus Jesus equals strength. You plus me plus Jesus equals strength. Let me illustrate this a little bit. I don't have a cord because it would be hard to see, and I thought this would be more impactful. One dowel rod by itself, easily broken, right? I didn't get to practice this, so I really hope it works. Two, stronger, but still broken. Janitor's not here, so she don't have to. Three together. I broke it. But it's not easily broken. We're better together. We're stronger together. And this isn't in my notes, but you need to hear me, church. And we're going to deal with it a little bit here in the near future. But we're coming into days in our world that we're going to need each other. We are going to need each other. That's the power of community. That's the wisdom of Ecclesiastes. And the truth is, we are going to face hardships. Right? Would we all agree with that? We're gonna face loss, we're gonna face disappointment, temptation, and doubt. And if you try to walk through those valleys alone, they can and most likely will crush you. But when a community of faith surrounds you, and more importantly, when Jesus is at the center of that community, you discover strength you didn't know that you had. Think about temptation, right? We all deal with temptation. If you're battling an addiction or a secret sin or even just the heavy pull of discouragement, trying to fight it in isolation almost never works. But when we've got brothers and sisters in Christ who pray for you, who check in on you, who speak the truth when you are too weak to hear it, It gives you the ability to be able to start standing firm. And that kind of strength doesn't just hold us up. It equips us also to start to reach out. William Temple, the late William Temple, the Archbishop of Canterbury, put it like this. The church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefits of its non-members. Family, can I just say that is the heart of Jesus' calling on us, his church. Not just gathering for ourselves, but to be the light in the darkness, the love in the brokenness, and hope in a world that is desperate for it. Church isn't only about what happens in this building. This building's just that. It's a building. We are the church. It's about how we live outside of it, at work, at school, or in our neighborhoods. The early church understood this truth. And when they were tempted to give up because of persecution and pressure, the writer of Hebrews encouraged them to stay strong. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. The writer says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, the author of Hebrews was writing to the tribe of Israel, the Hebrew people that had dispersed because of great persecution from the Emperor Nero. That's this context, right? And the writer is saying, you need to stay together. You need to continue to spur one another on into faith and good deeds and love. You need to stick together. What he's saying is gathering isn't optional. It's essential. The word spur here means to provide, to stir up, to push forward. Like spurs on a cowboy's boots. Never experienced spurs. Got my first pair of cowboy boots. That's as far as I'm going. And I have to give them credit. They are comfy. And they're easy to put on when you got a bubble in the middle. But to spur, to stir up, to push forward, right? Like the spurs of a cowboy boot. Not to hurt the horse, but to move it forward with energy. Am I right? All my cowboy folk? Okay. That's what we should be doing for one another, church. We challenge, inspire, and push each other toward deeper faith and deeper faithfulness. That's what the author of Hebrews is trying to get us to understand. And when you and I come together with Jesus in the mix, there is resilience. There is, that's weird. There is encouragement and strength that you simply don't find when you try to do it alone. You picking up what I'm throwing down this morning? And that leads straight to our next truth. If you want that kind of strength, you've got to choose it. You have to commit to a community. Committing to a community isn't about convenience. It's about calling. It's choosing to belong, to show up, to invest in one another. The early church didn't meet because it was easy. The third world countries China's not third world, but China, India, the Arab nations, they don't meet as Christians because it's easy. They meet because it's essential. They meet because they need one another. They knew, the first century church, they knew that only together could they remain faithful. There's a story about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who, pretty famous fella, and he led a secret seminary during Nazi Germany. Insisted on deep Christian community, even in dangerous times. Dietrich called it divine. It's a divine gift, right? He wrote, "The physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer." Bonhoeffer understood something that we often forget, that Christian community, and somebody needs to hear this today, Christian community is a gift from God. It's a gift. And like all gifts, it should be cherished and nurtured and protected. And when we commit to one another, we step into a transformation that can only happen in real and messy, spirit-led relationships. We don't just attend, we belong. We don't just visit, we invest. Picking up what I'm throwing down? Today we have so many things competing for our time and our attention. Sports schedules, long work hours, Netflix binges, and even the temptation to sleep in on Sunday. None of them, those things are wrong in themselves. Hear me, I'm not bashing these things. They're not wrong in themselves, but if we are not intentional, they can keep us from the very relationships that we need to help us grow. Community doesn't just happen, right? It requires commitment. It requires walking through hard things. It requires us being patient and gentle and gracious. They're graceful. That's graceful. Gracious with one another. Because there's the one thing that I've learned in my 55 years of life, that some of the things that you all do drive me nuts. And some of the things that I do drive y'all nuts. Like not getting my receipts in. Yeah, I love you too. So we spur one another on into faith and good deeds. We are gracious to one another because we all know that we're just a big bag of mixed faith and flaws. That's it. I'm a big bag of faith and flaws. When we commit to it, we need community. And it doesn't happen by happenstance. It requires commitment. And when we commit, something beautiful begins to happen. We become a family. And we all know that there are parts of our family that drive us nuts. We got Aunt Donna, who makes that nasty bean casserole every year at Thanksgiving or whatever. You fill in the blank. But we don't get to choose family, right? We get to learn to love and to be gracious and to be honest and to be faithful. These are the things. And as a family, where grace is given freely, burdens are carried together, and love flows from Christ to one another. And we're gathered here today on National Back to Church Sunday And I want to encourage each and every one of you. Don't, and hear my heart. Don't just attend church. Be a part of the church. Be the church. This is just a building. We are Christ's church. We are. I encourage you, in October, we'll have life groups. Join a life group. Start a life group where you can share life with one another, pray together, and grow deeper in your faith. Serve in a ministry. Because when we love our neighbors together, God's love is made visible. This is yours and my chance to invest in something that will last. It will last. Faith, relationships, and community that will change lives. But here's the truth again. I should say, because here's the truth. It's much gooder English. We are better together. And that includes you. And if you're a guest with us for the first time, we say thank you for being here. You matter and you belong. My view of how this goes is if you're a first-time guest, you're a guest. Second time, you're a friend. Third time, you're family. That's how I look at it. And I believe it wholeheartedly. I want to wrap this up with an image this morning as the worship team comes. I learned something about the redwood forest in California. The redwood trees of California. Go ahead and put that picture up, Duke. That wonderful bean footage. Duke. He's shaking his head like, you're dead to me. That's the redwood forest. Well, anybody ever been there? I was there when I was a little kid. They are some of the tallest trees in the world. Love that watermark. Don't know what the heck. Reaching up to 300 feet above ground. And you'd think being that massive, I mean, there's pictures of them, they cut holes in them and you can drive a car through some of these things. It's like remarkable. And you'd think something that massive would need roots that grow down deep, deep to be able to stand that tall, right? I always thought that. But surprisingly, their roots are actually shallow. Kick up the next one. This is what it looks like. The reason that they're able to grow so tall and to stay so strong is because their roots grow together. You catching a theme here? I hope so. It makes them so strong because their roots spread wide and intertwine with the other roots of the redwoods. They literally hold each other up. Alone, they would fall with that kind of root system. Together, they can withstand centuries of storms and fires and winds. Friends, that's what the church is meant to be. That's what it's meant to be. You and I may not have the deepest roots on our own, but when our lives are rooted together in Christ, we become unshakable. We hold each other up. We face storms together. We grow taller together. And my prayer And my goal is that that's the kind of church we become. A community. That kind of community where we are unshakable. So let's lock our roots together in faith, in love, in Jesus, because we truly are better together. Amen? Stand with me. We're going to close in prayer and then sing a song to close us out. Oh, Heavenly Father, we've heard you today. We've heard your word today. And we can't ignore the world that we're living in. Evil feels louder and darker and closer than ever. But we declare that you are greater and your light cannot be overcome. Lord, don't let us walk out of here unchanged today. Wake us up. Stir us to rise as your church. Not timid, not silent, but bold and faithful and full of love. God, forgive us for the times that we've settled for comfort instead of commitment. Give us courage to live holy, righteous lives, to speak truth, and to shine brightly in a culture desperate for Jesus. And God, I ask that you will remind us, Lord, that we are better together. We need one another. We need your Holy Spirit in our lives to bind us. So I ask, God, that you would bind us together in unity and strengthen us for the battle ahead. And send us out as salt and light in this world. May our lives this week reflect Jesus so clearly that others see hope and love and truth from us. And may everything we do and everything we say bring you glory, God. And we pray this in your mighty, powerful, unshakable, unchangeable name, Jesus. And all of God's people, his church, said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Let's sing together.